Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Good morning. I'm glad to see all of you here this morning, here in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. And I'm sure that the Lord's glad to see you here as well. So far in our studies of the miracles from the Gospel of Luke, we've seen leprosy, which shows sin's corrupting power. We've seen a lame man, a paralytic, which shows sin's debilitating power. We've seen death, which is the wage of sin. And we've seen demon possession, which is showing our bondage to sin and to Satan. But so far we have not encountered a condition which is central to the Bible's symbolism of unbelief and humanity and sin. And that condition is blindness. So today, we're going to look at a blind man. Last week, we talked about Jesus' feeding the 5,000, that miracle. And I told you then that kind of finished up and culminated what is known as Jesus' Galilean ministry period. And that was a period of time when Jesus did a lot of miracles. They were miracles that would proclaim him as the Son of God, as the Messiah come and answer to prophecy, that would declare the inbreaking of God's kingdom into this world. And then after he fed the 5,000, you remember he asked his disciples, he said, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Messiah. You're the Christ." And from that point on in Jesus' miracle, his focus of his ministry seems to shift a little bit away from these miracles that proclaim who he is and what his mission on earth is. His focus kind of shifts to instructing his disciples, his apostles. He's teaching them. He's not going to be on this earth very much longer, and they're going to have to carry on without him. And so he's preparing them for this ordeal that they have coming up. Today, we're going to be looking in Luke chapter 18. We're going to be looking at Jesus giving sight back to a blind man. So if you would turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 18, we're going to look at verses 35 through 43. Luke 18, 35 through 43. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped, and he ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Let's begin our time this morning together in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you have given us eyes to see, that you have opened our once blind eyes, and that Jesus is just no longer just Jesus of Nazareth, but he is Jesus, the Son of David, the Messiah, the Christ, that you sent into this world to die for our sins. Father, thank you. Be with us now. May your Holy Spirit indwelling in us give us great insight into your word. And may we take what we learn here today and take it with us as we leave here today. Watch over us, Father. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So I talked about this shift in Jesus' ministry, the emphasis of the ministry from doing these miracles that proclaim who he is, his divinity, he's the Son of God. His shift goes away from that a little bit, and he focuses more on teaching his disciples. And in chapter 18, where we are today, is especially true. Jesus uses both contrast and comparisons in this chapter 18 to teach his disciples. In this chapter 18, we have the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And this is a contrast about two different ways to approach God. The Pharisee tries to approach God through his works, whereas the tax collector comes humbly before God, basing his approach to God on his faith. We also see in chapter 18, we see a comparison. We see the comparison of the faith of the persistent widow. Jesus tells the parable about the persistent widow and her faith. And then he also talks to his disciples about the little children, allowing the little children to come to him, that you have to come with a childlike faith, the faith of a small child. So we see the kind of faith that needs to come to Christ is an open, innocent, trusting faith of a child, but also faith that is strong and steadfast and persistent and overcomes obstacles, as this persistent widow had her faith. So we see these are two kinds of faith that kind of compare and come together to form true saving faith. You can contrast this kind of faith that the persistent widow showed and the little children show with the rich young ruler. Jesus also tells that parable here in chapter 18, the parable of the rich young ruler. And we see his faith is not persistent. It's not childlike. He's not willing to give up his worldly treasure. And then we meet this blind beggar. Compare his faith to the widow, the persistent widow and the little children. The people told him to quit calling out to Jesus. Quit calling him. Leave him alone. Quit bothering him. But he kept on. He persisted. The more they told him to stop, the more he cried out to Jesus. And he came to Jesus trusting in Jesus. Jesus, help me. Have mercy on me. He came to Jesus with the same trusting faith that these children have. All through the Bible, sight is synonymous with belief. You remember in John chapter 3, Jesus tells Nicodemus, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And conversely, on the other hand, spiritual blindness is seen as the key to Satan's rule in this world. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this age, Satan, God of the little g, the God of this age, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And also in Colossians chapter 1, verses 13, for God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. So we see that those who are lost in darkness and sin, they have not yet received Jesus as their Savior. And they are like this blind man who's in darkness and unable to see. So what's the difference, basically, between Christians and everybody else? Well, the only difference is that by his grace, God has opened our once blind eyes, and we can now see. And there are five things in this miracle that Jesus does with this blind man that I want to look at this morning. First of all is the call that this blind man makes to Jesus as he's passing by. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for the last time. We look at Luke chapter 9, verse 51. It says, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. So now he is coming with his disciples to Jerusalem for the last time. He's very close to Jerusalem now. When always from Luke chapter 9 up here to Luke chapter 18, he's been progressing toward Jerusalem. Now he's very close to Jerusalem, and this ordeal on the cross that he's going to have to face is just a few days ahead of him, just a few days away. And I want to look at this miracle also in the Gospel of Mark. Mark gives us a few more details than Luke does. So I'm going to read from the Gospel of Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. The same miracle, but just as Mark presents it, with a few more details. It says, then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, He shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called out to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. So, as always, as we go through here, a crowd is following Jesus. A crowd is watching Jesus as he goes by. And this blind man, Bartimaeus, he heard the commotion. And he asked the crowd, "Well, what's going on? What's happening?" And I want you to contrast here the crowd's answer with the response that Bartimaeus gives. The crowd, who was passing by? Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. But to the blind man, he's Jesus, Son of David. We know the Son of David is kind of a catchphrase all through Scripture for the Messiah that is promised. So to the crowd, I said there, Jesus is just kind of a passing interest. He's just somebody for a few moments entertainment, like a celebrity going through town, and they're going to go out and see him, and then he'll be gone, and they'll get back to their everyday lives. But to Bartimaeus, Jesus is the Messiah, his Savior. Now, we see in our studies of these miracles that Jesus did that it is not the religious leaders who received salvation. And it was not the crowd of curious onlookers who were watching Jesus go by that received salvation. But it was the poor in spirit. It was those who were afflicted. Those who were blind, who saw Jesus for what he is, and who believed the promises of Scripture and called out to Jesus in faith. They're the ones that receive salvation. So the second point I want to look at this morning in this miracle is Jesus' response. His response to this call of faith that Bartimaeus had cried out to him. It said there in chapter 18, verse 40, it says, Jesus stopped. Jesus stopped. I mean, he had his face set there on Jerusalem. We read about he was resolutely on his way to Jerusalem for the last time. And then the cross is on his mind. He's bracing himself. He's focusing on what's to come. Just before this miracle, in chapter 18, verses 31 through 33, Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again." See, this is what Jesus is focused on right now. He's preparing himself. He's steeling himself. He's looking ahead, focusing his attention on this ordeal that he's going to have to go through in just a few more days there in Jerusalem. And yet, at the cry of a believer in need of mercy, Jesus stopped. At a believer's cry for mercy, Jesus stops and he gives his full attention. So that was one Jesus response to this call of faith. He stopped. The second response to this call of faith was he ordered Bartimaeus to come forth. And again, we saw the more details in Mark's gospel just a minute ago. He said, Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And so they called the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." And throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. So here we see the blind man's faith. Hearing that Jesus was passing by, he quickly called out in faith to Jesus as the Messiah, "Save me, have mercy upon me." And he did it persistently over and over. And then when he was called forward, he jumped up, he eagerly came forward. He sprang up, casting aside his cloak and probably scattering all the coins he had received from begging, but he wasn't worried about that. And then he came to Jesus. In all these things, we see what we must do if we would be saved. We must humbly cry out to Jesus for mercy. And then when he calls us, we must cast off all of our worldly encumbrances that might hinder us from coming and come to Jesus. So first, the blind man called out to Jesus as the Messiah, as his Savior. And then when he was called, he came at once. Third thing I want to look at this morning in this miracle is Jesus' question that he asked Bartimaeus and the response that Bartimaeus gave to him. And Jesus' question there in chapter 18, verse 41, he says to Bartimaeus, "What would you want me to do for you?" Now, you got to think about that a minute. What would we have said to Bartimaeus if we had been in Jesus' place? If we had been walking down the road and this beggar there says, "Help me, help me." I mean, if it had been me, I might have given him a few coins or something, said, "God bless you," and gone on my way. But see, Jesus is not like me, or like you. But the fact that Jesus could ask this question, "What do you want me to do for you?" and be sincere in fact, when it's obvious what Bartimaeus wants, he needs his sight. He wants a miracle. If I asked that question to Bartimaeus, "Well, what do you want me to do for you?" that would be a stupid question, because I couldn't give him what he obviously needs. But when Jesus asks that question, it's a sincere question, because Jesus has his divine power to give him the miracle that he really needs. Jesus saw the faith that brought this man forward. And since he's the Son of God with divine power, Jesus could sincerely say to this man, "Well, what do you want me to do for you?" Well, Bartimaeus' answer to Jesus, he said in verse 41, "Lord, I want to see." Lord, I want to see. What he's really saying here is, "Lord, open my eyes. Heal my unbelief. Show yourself to me." You know, a great scripture study you can do sometime is to go through the New Testament and look at the "I wills" of Jesus. When Jesus says, "I will," these are great promises that he makes to believers and unbelievers alike. I've got just a few of them here. In John chapter 4, verse 14, Jesus said, "Whoever drinks the water I will give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I will give them will become in them a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." Or in John 6:40, Jesus says, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." Again in Matthew 11:28. Matthew 11:28. Give me a second. There it is. I knew it was there. Jesus said, "Come to me." Y'all probably knew this anyway, Matthew 11:28, without me having to read it to you, look it up. Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And even if you go out of the Gospels, go back into the epistles in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. "Be content with what you have, because God has said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you." So what these verses really mean is Jesus is asking us the same question he asked Bartimaeus. "What do you want me to do for you? Are you hungry? Come to me, I'll give you the bread of life. Are you thirsty? Well, come to me, I'll give you the well of living water. Are you tired? Are you weary? Is your burden heavy? Well, come to me, and I'll give you rest and peace." There are a lot of other "I wills." It's just an interesting scripture study sometime when you want to go through the New Testament, look at the "I wills" of Jesus. Okay, the fourth thing I want to look at in this miracle this morning, I want to look at Jesus' power. First, Bartimaeus cried out for mercy. And then when he was called, he came forward and he asked Jesus, "Lord, I want to see." And Jesus says to him here in verse 42, Luke 18, 42, Jesus says, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Very short little words. I think 8 words. Some translations say, receive your sight, your faith has made you well. 9 words. No difference. Just a few simple words. But when Jesus began speaking these few words, Bartimaeus is in darkness. He's just as blind as a bat, just like he has been all along. But just a second or two later, when Jesus finishes saying these few little words, receive your sight, your faith has healed you, the darkness is gone. Light is streaming into Bartimaeus' eyes, and he's gazing into the face of his Savior. That's the kind of divine power that Jesus has. What matters is not the extent of our blindness, but the infinity of Jesus' power. Not the depth of our sin, but the height of Jesus' grace. How can a blind man see? How can a sinner seek forgiveness? By faith alone, which is the gift of God, so that we may not boast, but is to his glory, the glory of his name. Matthew 7, 8 and 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. The others in the crowd there that day, they had physical sight, but not spiritual insight. They didn't seek after the things of God, and that's why they didn't see what this blind man saw, that Jesus of Nazareth was also Jesus, the son of David, sent into this world to be Messiah and Lord. The fifth and last thing I want to examine here in this miracle is the great transformation, which is the result of salvation. Now, in verse 43 there, we see Bartimaeus. What's he doing in verse 43? He's following after Jesus, and he's giving praise to God. These are two signs of salvation that only come through true and saving faith. Those who are truly happy and blessed are those who started out sad but came to Jesus. Those who once were poor but through Jesus found eternal riches. Those who were weak, but in Jesus found great strength. Those who were rejected by men, but were fully accepted by God. See, all of these they were brought from darkness into light. They had their eyes opened through their faith in Jesus Christ. And when we come in faith to Jesus Christ, the same transformation applies to us. I mean, we were rebels against God. Now we're his beloved children. We who have sinned are now forgiven. We who are guilty are now justified through the shed blood of Jesus Christ who died for us. We who once were blind, we can now see the love of God in Jesus Christ. We who were weak and in bondage are now free through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. And we who once were dead in our sins are now alive in Christ. So all these lessons we've been having this past month and a half or so, all these miracles we've been seeing, this is what I want you to get from all these classes we've had this summer so far. This transformation, this reversal, it takes place through our faith in Jesus Christ. No one else in the crowd saw the Jesus that poor blind Bartimaeus saw. And through faith, even though he was blind, he saw Jesus not as just Jesus of Nazareth, but as Jesus the Savior. And so he called out to Jesus. He came to Jesus. He asked of Jesus. And by faith in Jesus, he was saved. That's the kind of transformation that all the miracles of Jesus point us to. Any questions this morning on this miracle? Let us close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that although we once were blind, you gave us the faith, the saving faith in our hearts to look to Jesus. Even though we were blind and in sin, dead in our sins, you brought us to Jesus. You showed us who Jesus really is, not just Jesus of Nazareth, the man who lived 2,000 years ago and went around helping out people and doing good whenever he could. He is Jesus, the Son of David, Jesus the Messiah, the Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. Lord, thank you that we now see this, that through your Holy Spirit, we can not only see it, but you brought us to Jesus. And we can, if you leave here today, we can go out and we can show Jesus to others. And maybe they'll have that same transformation in their lives. Lord, thank you for this class. Thank you for these people here who so faithfully have attended. And we just pray that you will be with us as we go forth from here this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, this concludes our study on just a few of the miracles in Luke's gospel. I hope you've enjoyed these lessons on miracles. But more than that, I pray that like Bartimaeus, your eyes have been opened. Good day.